VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I re-listened to it, though, like, so first that bass sound, the whoop, like,
it's so cheesy, man.
The best thing about it is they're literally like, you know what's boring is bass. You know what we should do is have a keyboard bass with a little whoa, hey, now we got something. That being said, that guitar part's great. Like, do you hear how pretty the little tinkling guitar part is behind it? Like, that's that Michael Jackson thing. Like, this entire, all in the 80s, the keyboards are horrible and the bass is ruinous and the drum machine is terrible. But the songs that have guitar are good. Like the guitar.
Can you repeat what you just said?
Everything Ruined sucks except my the guitar, just to clarify.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, what is happening? How are you?
Hello, my friend.
Welcome. It is 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys on the Drive-In Podcast Network. Jeff Simons, you're facing biblical weather in California.
We have animals by two running by my window. We have horsemen in fours wandering the neighborhood. Yeah, we're having an extreme weather event here in the Bay Area.
Sorry.
Very exciting.
That's a bummer. Ben, are things more sane in Knoxville?
Indeed. Beautiful blue skies right here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Excellent. Hey, guess what? We have a guest on 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys.
We need a lot of correction, Timmy. Do we have a guest who's going to help us out?
We do. She is strong feelings. This is my daughter, Martha. Martha would like to revisit our list of top lyricists of all time.
I'm not surprised. We definitely did not bring our best to the lyricist conversation. I'll admit to having done exactly 1 second of research. Ben was the hero, but I was just like,
first of all, it's a tough get where you're like, I did nothing and it sucked because of Ben. That's not a
bet. I'm just saying that I brought
back the bus right over me, man. But I want to hear that beep, beep, beep as it comes towards me.
Before we get to that, before we get to her objections, she has to tell you guys something that happened last week. Martha, the floor is yours.
So first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. I will say, it was my idea originally for y'all to bring like one of your kids on the podcast every once in a while. Back when you were doing your first season, I was like, I can come on, talk about Taylor Swift. And then you bring Ben's daughter on and she picks the song that I would have picked by Taylor Swift.
No way. Are you serious?
Paper Rings, of course. Yeah. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's because my understanding as an outsider in that world is that that's not a top 10 Taylor Swift song. Like, I've looked at a lot of the rankings. Like, that's amazing. You and my daughter, you and Georgia are on the same page.
Oh, yeah. It's such a great song. I mean, there's the thing about like having a top 10 Taylor Swift song is she has so many songs.
Agreed.
That it's like,
totally.
But yeah, Paper Rings, definitely a great song.
Did we bring you on to complain on the podcast? Is that
your thing? It was my idea originally.
Okay. Let's go. Come on. We're paying you by the minute.
Anyway, last Tuesday, I went to my first concert ever.
Woo! Nice.
As an 18-year-old, he tried to take me to Wilco when I was in like seventh grade, but that didn't work out. So I saw the Backseat Lovers. Have either of you ever heard of the Backseat Lovers?
I have now, thanks to this piece of information. I was checking them out on the old Spotify. Pretty cool, actually.
How were they? Was it good?
Yeah. So why don't you play a clip of the song first and tell Jeff what you want to play?
So Jeff, can you play Kilby Girl starting at 201?
Oh, I like it. We got a 201 call, Jeff.
201, bang.
Fathers and the automatic earth.
That's not it. Hold on.
I was like, well,
That's an old guy.
That's Paul Simon.
I hate that when you pick something on Spotify and then it doesn't actually play it. It just says like, yeah, that's it. What did you want to do with it? I'm like, I just wanted to look it up.
Wait, was the last thing you were listening to was that weird Paul Simon song? Why?
Hold on.
I overheard that she was 19.
Kilby Girl.
By the Backseat Lovers.
Yeah.
And they're good live.
Oh my gosh. It was so much. I mean, I wasn't prepared for how awesome concerts are. And I get there and they just start playing. And it was just so much fun. It was so loud and we were dancing. And I really like their music. So it was a lot of fun. But now we have a question, or I have a question for you three. What was your first concert?
Now, Jeff, we've covered your first concert. What was it again?
It was Boston.
Oh,
on the Don't
right.
Look Back tour, yeah, his dad, with Sammy Hagar opening up.
His dad was not a fan.
I was eight.
Ben, were you AC/DC?
Yeah, man, AC/DC.
And that's
hey, Martha, did somebody puke on your dad's shoes? Because if not, you missed your first concert experience.
Okay.
Next so, time, second next, concert. See if you can get somebody to puke on him.
Okay.
Boston, AC/DC, and for me it was the Beach Boys, but not the greatest iteration of the Beach Boys, I will admit.
The Kokomo Beach Boys, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
The Beach Boys that you saw, that's rough. This is a cool first concert because this is a cool band in its moment, being cool when you go to see them.
Well, my friend was saying they're not coming back to Asheville ever. They scheduled this tour before quarantine, back when they were like this small little band, and they were like, oh, like Asheville. And now they're like, have blown up. And so I think it was kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to see them here in our small
town. In a small place. Yeah. The 72 million listens to Kilby Girl and counting. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Not bad.
Was it at the Orange Peel or where'd you see him?
The Grey Eagle.
Oh, the Grey Eagle. Even better. I've been to that venue too. That's great.
Yeah. It was great.
So Ben,
I played, which one's the smaller one?
The Orange Peel?
That's the one I played. Yeah. I played the Grey Eagle, but not the Orange Peel. Yeah.
So, Ben, you'll love this. One of the things she mentioned afterwards was like, oh, and he had the best guitar solos. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, an 18-year-old in this year vying for more guitar solos in her life. I was very excited.
You know, Martha, there's a new record called River Run with guitar solos on it. You might want to share with all your cool friends.
Is that his record?
Yeah, that's his record.
Oh, I like Kissing Me.
Yeah.
Yay, there we go.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. But we are, well, why don't we give the people what they want and then we'll get to your beef in just a second.
Okay.
Jeff Simons, it is 1986. I am 16 years old. Big year for music. Let's go ahead and hit the Grammy winner,
which I accidentally gave everybody a little preview of there for a second.
Which you had already been listening to.
Well, I was queued up. I was queued up trying to be professional, trying to have the show running at a nice clip. Here we go.
It's the Grammy winner.
Graceland by Paul Simon.
Slow day, and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb.
Which one is that, Jeff?
That's track one. That's The Boy in the Bubble, which always makes
you
think
of. Why did you choose Graceland, which is actually way better?
Well, I like it because it makes me think of that Bubble Boy Seinfeld.
First of all, that's not kind. You put Paul Simon in.
How you doing over there? Not too good.
I'm sorry, it's Moops.
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 All right, so hold on. To return to Paul Simon. First, at the time it came out, I was on top of how weird it was that it was cultural appropriation. I was like, really? Like, that's the record? Like, the record is going to be a bunch of South African people playing South African songs with him making dumb lyrics on top of it? That bugged me right away. That being said, there's like two or three good songs on this record. And
what's the third one? Because I like Graceland. Graceland's a good song. And I actually don't mind that one because it's so bizarre and weird.
Oh, I hate that. I do not like, as soon as like the accordion starring, I'm like, well, it's time for me to go.
So what's the other?
Is that the guitar work on this record is great. I don't know the name of the guy, but the guitar work is great. The Diamonds in the Soles of Your Shoes, that song's good.
Okay, I'll give you that one maybe. But if you try to put You Could Call Me Al on the good song
list, no.
I'm not letting you do that.
Oh, no, man, for sure. Sucks. And the Chevy Chase in the video, it's like, forget all the way around.
Yeah, because it's not just cultural appropriation. It's cultural appropriation with Chevy Chase mugging.
Oh,
like,
no,
he's
for
a
sure.
Fletch all the way through it. That's an F-minus video.
It was so disrespectful and bad. Like, it's a bad look. All the way around, pretty much, I think. I know it recreated his career, and if there's a single record you're going to point to, this would be the one, right?
If you're
a Paul Simon defender.
What's the good look? What's the way you're like, oh, you know what? I really enjoy South African music. How can a white guy from New York City then infuse it into his
It's not
work?
That he infused. Infusion would be okay. He went to South Africa, recorded all these dudes, like... First of all, he went to South Africa to play Sun City after the song I'm going to play Sun City. I believe that is the case.
I want to fact check all this cool local township
music, recorded it, brought it back, and put Paul Simon lyrics on top of it. Like, it's not an homage. It's not a
They're not in the studio together? I don't think it's hybrid at all.
I think with Ben, he just like, it's like, wow, that sounds cool and no one else has heard it yet. Yoink. Like, I am not
He didn't bring those guys to New York. I feel like you brought them to New York.
He probably did. Let's look at
that. Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to choose a record by these guys, but I really, really, really like Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
And if you know what the things that I've said about Elvis Costello and other people, you'd be like, really? Why would you like Vampire Weekend? I don't know why. I can't describe it. But somehow, like, Vampire Weekend has got this like angular guitar sound that's very similar to the guitar sound on this record.
Okay.
But it's like more respectful, and it's not just a straight heist. Like, this is just a carjacking. Dude, just to be clear, it's as if Buena Vista Social Club came out with Paul Simon lyrics. That's the thing. Like, he didn't write these. Like, these songs are completely South African songs with him mumbling over them.
May I please read to you from the Wikipedia page?
Okay, Jeff, cool. Do it.
Simon's relationship with his former musical partner, Art Garfunkel, had deteriorated. His marriage to actress Carrie Fisher had collapsed, and his previous records, Hearts and Bones, was a commercial flop. In a period of depression.
Wait, hold on. By the way, fair. That record's like, come on now.
In 1984, in a period of depression, Simon became fascinated by a bootleg cassette of South African street music. He went to Johannesburg and spent 2 weeks recording South African musicians. He then took the recordings back to the United States and overdubbed his parts with Linda Ronstadt, the Everly Brothers, and Mexican-American band Los Lobos.
Huh.
Oh, my God. That's so bad. That is
It's as bad as I thought. I thought I was right about that.
And also, even worse, he's like, you know, it's kind of an ethnic look I've got going here, but I don't know anyone. How about Los Lobos? Like, they're like South Africans, Los Lobos, let's jam them all together. Like, that's unbelievably bad.
Yeah, I can't imagine Los Lobos showed up for that. And after 30 seconds, they were like, oh, man.
But also, just to be clear, get that money. Like, I have no beef with Los Lobos at all. Like, if he cut the check, they should be there.
You're talking about memorable concert moments. I don't know if Ben attended the Lady Smith Black Mambazo concert at Haverford. Did you go that night when they were here?
Yeah.
So do you remember their big song?
Yes.
Which all about how much they love Paul Simon, the song Wings to Fly. They sang a song where they're like, we were in South Africa and nobody knew us. And we were starving. And then we met Paul Simon. And now we have wings to fly. And these white kids cheered mighty Paul Simon because now the black musicians can come sing for us in our old 200-year-old concert hall. It was so nauseating. I actually was like looking around like, is this really happening? It was just so bad. It was so bad.
Jeff had his Walkman onto Fugazi at the time.
Oh, I walked out. Totally. I was like, I cannot be a party to this insanity.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of parties, let's just go right to the number one selling album of 1986 so Martha can do a little dancing.
That's not from this record. It's her best song by a mile, but let's be real.
Oh,
the one that actually was a big hit this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's this one.
The album Whitney Houston.
It's the number one album.
Whitney Houston by Whitney Houston.
Yeah, it was this song, which I once heard 15 times in a row in a pizza parlor because someone plunged it in to the TikTok 15 straight times. I know this song so by heart just from one lunch.
I like this song better.
Do you? The other one better. No way. This song, cheese ball compared to the other one.
That's really checking out.
One, two, three,
That bass sound, Jeff? How hilarious is the bass sound? Does JC laugh so hard?
I can't hear it. What's he doing? Oh, I got it. Now, I know you both think of her as empty calories, but when this album came out and she emerged on the scene, it was a thing. She was a huge deal right out of the gate.
Maybe for you, Timmy. It was not a thing for me.
Me neither, man.
Not happening. When I re-listened to it, though, like, so first that bass sound, the whoop, 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 whoop.
It's so cheesy, man.
The best thing about it is they're literally like, you know what's boring is bass. You know what we should do is have a keyboard bass with a little whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, now we got something. That being said, that guitar part's great. Like, do you hear how pretty the little tinkling guitar part is behind it? Like, that's that Michael Jackson thing. Like, this entire, all in the 80s, the keyboards are horrible and the bass is ruinous and the drum machine is terrible. But the songs that have guitar are good. Like, the guitar part.
Can you repeat what you just said?
Everything ruinous sucks except the guitar, just to clarify.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
This record has so many unforgivable songs on it. It has Saving All My Love for You, which is
What's wrong with that?
And it has Greatest Love of All, which is only to be sung in Coming to America by Randy Jackson.
And also, because Jeff, I have to agree with Tim here. Saving All My Love, you're just hurting our feelings. Aren't you saving all your love? I am. I'm banking love right now.
I am actively giving it away all the time. I'm hoarding my love for a private moment.
I'm saving all my jokes for this podcast. All week long, I like, oop.
At this record. 86 was a tough year.
All right. So Martha playing. She's got a bedtime, so let's get this going.
9:20.
Martha, state your case.
Well, first of all, I disagree. Jeff, you were saying that, like, Elvis Costello has some great lyrics, but he also has some bad ones, so he can't be the greatest lyricist. And I disagree because I think Taylor Swift is the greatest lyricist, and I think she has some terrible lyrics. And so,
well, we agree on half of both of those statements, so that's totally fine.
How many albums does Taylor Swift have?
Right now she has 9.
Nine albums.
TS10 is in the works, and she's re-recording all of her early albums because she was taken advantage of.
Right.
So give it to us, man. What are some of your favorite Taylor lyrics?
Okay.
And by the way, I'm here for this discussion.
All right. So I always say that Taylor Swift is a queen of bridges. So I have two bridges that I want to play. The first is All Too Well, starting at 2:58. This is like early. This is happy. Red. Which actually comes out in November, the re-recording. So I'm really excited to hear like her vocals now.
Is she still country?
While Jeff's looking, is this the first great lyric, do you think? Like, is this, like, do you locate it here? Because I love Our Song. Our Song is one of my five favorite Taylor Swift songs.
No, I love Our Song too. That's one of my favorite songs. So I wouldn't call this the first great lyric, but like this is a lyric that like everyone still references today in the Taylor Swift fandom. Like
258 like, of All Too Well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Here we go. Is that right?
I don't know.
Lord,
so.
What is happening here?
It says it's playing All Too Well by Taylor Swift, but it sure as hell didn't
from
sound
Red?
Like it.
Damn
it. From Red? Yeah, from Red. Here we go. Great.
So good.
That's
stuff.
A great lyric.
So tell me, Jeff and Ben, expert songwriters that you are, what is the challenge of the bridge? What is a bridge, in case there's someone listening who doesn't know what we're talking about?
You want me to do it? You got it, Ben.
You
got
do it, Jeff. You're fine.
So a verse is the chorus is the thing you hear over and over and over again, usually has the song title in it, right? Like, like I want to hold your hand. The chorus is, I want to hold your hand. The verses are the part where you're kind of telling your little story that leads up to the choruses. So, and I want to hold your hand and say, oh, I tell you something.
Yeah.
I think you
love
me.
Why do I need a bridge? I don't need a bridge.
Because if you go verse, chorus, and you don't do something else, it really starts to feel repetitive. So sometimes you get a guitar solo, or sometimes you get a
saxophone solo,
or sometimes you get a saxophone solo, only if you're really lucky. And sometimes you get a key change, or you get a bridge. And when I touch you, I feel happy inside, which is what happens. And I want to hold your hand. Well, you get, it's the same tempo. And sometimes it's a key change, or sometimes it's a drop to the minor from the major, but then it usually sets up verse 3 or chorus 3 or an outro or something like that. So bridges aren't in every song. And when they're done poorly, they're a little bit of a bummer, but Martha's right. Like a song with a great bridge is like a cupcake with a delicious, surprising center.
So Martha is saying that Hozier's Take Me to Church has a bad bridge.
He just sings amen over and over again. This is actually your argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like that song. Amen. Amen.
That's amazing.
All right. But Taylor Swift is the queen of bridges. Why?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because she really like takes the ideas, I think, of the song, but she just adds this like other level of emotion. And this next bridge I want to play for you, like her, this is her most recent album, Evermore. She's kind of dropped the pop. She's dropped the country. She's dropped all of the like showbiz. And she's just like, I'm a songwriter and these are my lyrics. And this next bridge is Champagne Problems, starting at 2:25.
I love it.
Your modest touch on the Chevy door, November flush and your flannel cure. This dorm was once a madhouse. I made a joke, well it's made for me. How evergreen, our group of friends don't think we'll say that word again. And soon they'll have the nerve to deck the halls that we once walked through. One for the money, two for the show. I never was ready, so I watch you go. Sometimes you just don't know the answer to someone's on their knees and asked you. She would have made such a lovely bride. What a shame she's fucked in the head, they said. But you'll find the real thing instead. She'll patch up your tapestry that I shred and hold your hand while dancing. Never leave you standing, crestfallen on the landing with champagne problems. Your mom's ringing.
Such a big difference. Like the kid who learned how to write songs by listening to traditional verse, chorus, verse. Like once she mastered that, she blew through it. Now she sounds like a hip hop lyricist using traditional song craft. Like those are all couplets where the rhyme is as important as what's being said. Whereas that early song, she's telling a little story, right? You right. broke me like a promise, and I broke up, and I'm a piece of paper, and I remember this all too well. This is just image, 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 all rhyming, all one after another. But it's much less about the narrative of country music, like I'm going to tell a little story about a Chevy and a rainstorm and two people, and much more like here's a whole bunch of images that thrown yeah. together create the illusion of a story. That's yeah. great. It's great that she can do both.
So I love this pick, and I picked Lorde basically as her mm-hmm. contemporary, whose lyrics I it's harsh to say, but I basically prefer Lorde's lyrics. That's no shade at all to Taylor. I just love her lyrics. I think she's a spectacular, beautiful, gargantuan songwriter. Yeah. I pulled up mine. This line, "You made a rebel of a careless man's careful daughter."
Oh, I love that lyric.
"You are the best thing that's ever been mine." The careless man's careful daughter, those four words capture wow. I know. A lifetime. Like that's an entire yep. novel right there.
Careless man's careful daughter.
How is that not a novel by Cormac McCarthy? Yeah, that's great.
Good, man, just amazing. So I'm with you. I hear you, and I dig this selection for sure.
Yeah, good stuff. Tim, you told me to do more homework, that you were ticked yeah. at my. So you wanted a couple other lyricists?
Yeah, yeah. Well, last week when we mentioned our top lyricists, are there go-to songs or go-to lyrics to kind of get the sense of why these people are powerful?
Oh, I did a totally other thing and came up with a bunch of other people who we dissed that deserved. I'll go back.
Let me just do mine since they backed
up. Since you did homework.
Here's some classic ones. So, okay. And actually, we've got the perfect person here. We've got an actual audience. For Lorde, there's a number of them, but I'm super into Solar Power right now.
Me too. Like,
Cheerful Lorde. I'm just yeah. completely digging it. The lyrics in that are unbelievable.
I'm kind of like a pretty juice.
Beaches and ripe peaches makes me happy every single time. Kendrick Lamar has got 1,000 good ones, but the song "I," like the lyrics in that are just unbelievable. So good.
That's his best song.
And the album track, and actually, I'm going to choose that album. I think that year, but the album track has got him. It's a live version of the song "I." So the first single comes out. When the album comes out, he releases the live version of it. It's got a 45-second freestyle at the end that is just so unbelievably powerful.
Huh. Okay.
Brandi Carlile, you can't go wrong with anything off of, by the way, I forgive you, like every single song.
You like Brandi Carlile?
Amazing. I don't really
listen. Oh, she's great.
I got to break in.
Yeah.
We are taping this the day after she performed on SNL.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys seen Broken Horses? I watched it live last night. It was the best SNL performance I've seen in 20 years, with the exception of when Jack White went on with that trio. Version of Broken Horses that she did on SNL last night is an all-time top 10 SNL live performance.
Writing it down.
She just dismantled the audience. It was so good.
I was thinking about this, and this is no shade, but some shade to our friends at Wilco. When you were like, "This is what the E Street Band sounds like," I was like, I don't think that's right. Brandi Carlile and her band, that is Springsteen and the E Street Band. That is the current version of that band. She shreds so hard live. And the SNL thing, I haven't seen it, but I assume it to be true. She's a freaking magnet. Like the same way Springsteen is. Like, this is why Wilco's a little bit different, because he
spreads it out.
Tweety's super generous. There's whole swaths of time where when I see Wilco, I'm just watching the other guys in the band.
Right.
That almost never happens at Springsteen. Like, I'll sometimes be like, "Oh yeah, there's a sax solo," and I'll like force myself to watch somebody else. But I mean, that's what Brandi Carlile's like. It's just like, you cannot take your freaking eyes off this woman. And I mean, the stories, the charm, the warmth, and just the sheer desire to melt your face is just very much.
Well, that's what it was. Cause so many people go on SNL and they know they're only playing two songs, so they shtick it up big time. Young Thug last week, perfect, or whatever his name is, two weeks ago, like, brought the band, and he's trying to play with a live band for the first time. He's got the guy from Blink 182 on drums. It was pretty good. It was a one-time silly 3-minute thing. Like, she got on stage and she put like a lifetime's worth of phenomenal performance into 5 minutes. Wow. I mean, like, here's the thing. Ben will know this. Like, when you watch a band on SNL, it ends, and then there's the awkward moment where they turn the mics off the band and turn the mics on the audience, and you can finally hear audience reaction. But the song itself is just lost in a moment. You could hear the audience screaming for her in the middle of the song when it got quiet. Like, she had that audience in hysterics after 45 seconds.
I want to pause the podcast and go watch it.
It was so good.
Okay.
No, but dude, Jeff, I've seen her 4 times, and that's what it's like.
Oh, I know.
That's the actual experience of seeing her.
I've seen her twice too. She's one of the all timers. She's just spectacular.
We're gonna see Brandi Carlile. Second concert. That's gonna be Martha's second concert.
It's a good one.
All right.
So I would just like, we did not talk about some three classic songwriting teams from the 50s and 60s that deserve some love. Dan Penn and Spooner Oldham, the guys who wrote Do Right Woman and Dark End of the Street and about 50 others.
Yeah.
Lieber and Stoller, who invented the lyrics of rock and roll along with Chuck Berry. They wrote Poison Ivy, Charlie Brown, Along Came Jones, Jailhouse Rock, and Goffin and King, who wrote Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, which might be the most beautiful thing ever written by anybody. And then we're not going to talk about the Kinks again, which is ridiculous for a second season. So I'm throwing Ray Davis on the pile, if nothing else, for Waterloo Sunset, which is the most romantic song I've ever heard.
Wow.
So I should have brought those up last time. I didn't, but I did a little homework for this one. So
and
look at Ben's angry little crusty face.
Ben,
he's all bummed at me.
Before we say goodnight to Martha, she doesn't know Public Enemy. Can you drop one Chuck D lyric on us?
Oh, Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me. Straight up racist. He was simple and plain. Motherfuck him and John Wayne.
Because you know that I'm here and I'm hyped and I'm amped. None of my heroes appear on no stamps. Which is what comes next.
Wait, okay, I'll go look them up.
Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Thank you guys
and
so
also,
much for having me.
A less cursy one. There's a song that starts, yes, was the start of my last jam. I was like, it makes me so happy. I was like, yes, it was the start of your last jam. It was the start of this jam. Amazing.
That's outstanding. All right. Good night, Martha. Right,
thank you.
Martha, it's so good to see you, my friend.
Well done by you.
You go study. Golly.
Poor kid.
Back to your room.
I thought it was bedtime.
Up. Yeah.
You go study.
Can't believe
You're like the mom in the Breakfast Club dropping off Anthony Michael Hall. Well, you better figure out a way to study.
Better find a way to study. Enough of that podcast stuff. All right, gentlemen, our three albums. Let's go.
Our three albums.
I'm going to go ahead and do Raising Hell by Run DMC. And I already basically told the story of Raising Hell, Run DMC last season. So I'm going to go ahead and make two further notes. The first thing I'm going to say is that Georgia came and visited for her October break, and then Dahlia came before that for her October break. So I had a lot of time to hang out with my college-age daughters, which was super fun. And one of the things I noted was, and when George and I, we do yoga together, and then we just play her music. And then when Dahlia's there, she takes aux in the car and won't let me listen to her music. She just DJs while we're in the car. And so by and large, I really, really, first, I just love it. It's super great. There's nothing better than having somebody show you new music you don't know. Second, their music will fall into a couple of different categories. First, there's like a third of it is basically songs that I know and like. And then a third of it is songs that they like that remind me of older songs. And then a third of them are songs that I don't like. And in particular, like the singing, mumbling, white guy with tattoos all over her face rap, I just have a really hard time with. And I think we discussed this before. Like, I've always loved hip hop. Hip hop has been my thing basically since it came out. And so it breaks my heart to have there be a whole swath of hip hop that I don't even really like. Dude, I was thinking about this for this Run DMC record. So there's three Run DMC records that are exceptional. The first one, Run DMC, the second one, King of Rock, and then this one. And then after that, Tougher Than Leather, it goes downhill pretty quickly. My dad is a huge music fan, like a gigantic music fan. And rap happened past when he could understand it, basically. I don't know if he would agree with me on this take, but like, he just never liked rap. He was just like, I don't understand that. Like, it's a bass line with drums, and then they talk over it. And I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And he was like, no, it's not awesome.
It. You nailed
like,
it.
He's like, that's not even music, really. And then he was like, wait, isn't that Chic Good Time song? And he's like, but they ruined it. They ruined it. It's only the bass line with some mumbling over it. And I was like, you mean they improved it with the mumbling? Like, it's 8,000 times better than the Chic song. Anyhow, it made me think with my daughters, like, there is a great joy to having your own music. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good thing. And in particular for me, like, having been there at the ground floor, like, I mean, like, having been there at basically the beginning of hip hop, it's had a special place in my heart. Like, it's just awesome to have that. Like, to have something that breaks when you're a teenager and that you can just ride along with and that your parents hate. Like, that's a key element to it, for sure. Like, having your parents hate it is, like, just sauce for the goose. Like, that makes it even better. And both like, the cheesy metal of that time and rap was like that for me. Like, my dad just never got that at all. So that makes me really, really, really happy to remember that about Run DMC. And also, in defense of my dad, like, so the song we heard, what was the name of the band? The first concert?
Backseat Lovers.
Okay, so that sounded great. I'm not anti that at all, but Jeff will agree with me. That sounds like 15 bands from 15 years ago or 25 years ago.
25 like, bands.
Like, that's a remix of things that have already happened. But when anytime I do that with my daughters, they're like, no thanks. Like, just stop talking. Stop talking. And then I was reflecting on it, and I was like, you know, my dad has always wanted me to listen to Phil Oakes. He's like, you know who you would like is Phil Oakes. And I'm like, no, I don't think I would like that. And he's like, but you like Steve Earle and Sufjan Stevens. Like, you like things that sound like Phil Oakes. Maybe you would like Phil Oakes. And I've listened to Phil Oakes, and the answer is a hard no.
Oh, I ain't no. marching anymore.
Hard no on Phil Oakes. And then it's also like with the, you know, like, I mean, I do like Dylan. But Joan Baez, bless her heart.
Oh,
bless her heart.
Yeah.
That's just like a hot poker in my face. And I know my dad, when he hears the Brandi Carlile stuff, he's like, I don't know. Like, this is fine. But Joan Baez is much preferable.
Oh, wow.
So anyhow, it just helps me with the generational aspect. All of that being said, the first Run DMC record is amazing because it's the first rap album. And there's like 7 good songs on it.
Yeah,
the second one is a little bit of a downturn. The third one's amazing because they really steer into it. It's the first gargantuan for the time rap hit. I already played Raising Hell, the song. Jeff, if you will hit me with Peter Piper starting at 108,
yes.
And we have to go to 210.
Yes.
So you can hear, God damn, that DJ made my day. Wait till you hear him rock the bells on this one. It just makes me so happy. The production's so amazing. And it's got Jam Master Jay scratching.
Raising Hell by Run DMC.
Those bells are the greatest.
It goes a 1, 2, 3, and...
Days like King Midas, as I was told, everything that he touched turned to gold. He's the greatest of the great, I get it straight, he's great. Claim fame, cause his name is known in every state. God damn, that DJ made my day. Like the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. He's a maker, a breaker, and a title taker. Like a little old lady who lived in a shoe. If cuts were kids, he would be you. Not lying, y'all, he's the best I know. And if I lie, my nose will grow. Like a little wooden boy named Pinocchio. And you all know how to store free. Go!
Tricks up for kids, he plays much kids. He's the big bad wolf, and yo, the three bigs. He's the big bad wolf in your neighborhood. Not
bad,
meaning
bad,
but
bad,
meaning good. Right.
Stop right there.
It is.
So the 1, 2, 3 hit it. That's been sampled 1,000 times. The goddamn that DJ made my day. That's been sampled 1,000 times. And then the hit it, like, just the best. These guys are just a fountain of that stuff. And it just makes me super happy. You know what I mean? Like the rapping there is just completely on the beat. It's so straightforward. It's hilarious that they chose to do a rap song about how great Jam Master Jay is. and have it be a bunch of fairy tales. Like, it's just fantastic. I love it.
So last weekend, it was Sunday morning. Kids were straggling out of bed. It's 10:30, and I decided that I was rapping dad.
Oh, boy.
And I was rapping left and right, and I was making pancakes for everybody. And I'm like, I got out the batter. It's really thick. And I'm just going to town rapping, and my son looks at me, and he doesn't say stop. He's like, oh, come on. He just says, have you listened to rap in the last 30 years? Oh. Ouch. Because I realized that everything I was doing was from King of Rock.
Yeah, totally.
I know that. And even like the subject matter, like that, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, he's a maker of bricks. I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It's so great.
It's great, though. It's fun. I do like it.
All right,
Jeff, do your thing, man.
So the nice setup here, Ben is so great. He just sets me up. He doesn't realize it. Like, sometimes what we're looking for is something new and something different and something that pushes the edge. But you do develop an aesthetic when you're young. And sometimes it's okay to fall in love with something that's an iteration of a thing you already love. That's Ben in hip hop. That's me with rock and roll. Like, when I was 16 years old, I loved American hardcore. I loved the stuff that was really popular, but I also loved a lot of the stuff that I was a little bit too young to experience in their moment. And I liked a lot of stuff from the 50s and 60s. Like, I was already going backwards and trying to figure out where stuff came from that I loved. And so when a new band would showcase all of those old elements and try to turn them into something fresh while still being evocative of the past, like, I could fall for that like a total ton of bricks. And that's what happened to me in 1986 when for about a year, I became obsessed with the debut album of the Smithereens, which is still my favorite record that we haven't talked about from 1986.
Wait, what? Really? You're going to choose a Smithereens record?
I am. I'm going to choose
the first Smithereens record. Are we going behind the wall of sleep? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, that's where we're going, baby.
I can't believe I name dropped this record.
I love this record. I love this
really?
Record so much.
How will we yeah. discuss this?
Oh, I love this record so much. It came out in 1986, and they were from New York, but they were on an LA record label called Enigma Records that had like all these weird punk bands on it that didn't want to sign with SST. They had the Dead Milkmen. And I bought a compilation called the Enigma Variations of this record label. I put it on, and you know, it's punk and some of it's crappy. And I hit a Smithereens song called Beauty and Sadness that had been on their EP. And I was like, what the hell? It was great. It was psychedelic, and it was Who-ish and Beatle-ish, but it had a little more energy. And I ran to the record store and I bought this debut record, especially for you. And not only did I this fall for it hard, but everybody in the band I was playing with, we covered in our show six songs from this record. We did Strangers When We Meet. We did Blood and Roses, Behind the Wall of Sleep.
Really?
We did In a Lonely Place. It's one of our slow down ballads. We did Time and Time Again. We did I Don't Want to Lose You. We learned how to play this whole record, basically. And
it wasn't hard because there's four chords on the record.
Well, it's true. And but we couldn't get enough of it. It's got like the Rickenbacker jangle, and it's got all these great, like, short, perfect guitar solos. The background vocals are great. And Pat D'Anizio's voice as a young man is so deep and sonorous. He sounds great. And talk about great lyrics. Every one of these songs is just a fantastic little teenage West Side Story love story. And it's including this one, which I'm going to play, which is the song Behind the Wall of Sleep. I love like a million songs on this record, but I always pick a weird one. And you guys are like, why didn't you just play Graceland? So I'm going to play the one that was the big hit. Blood and Roses was the song that made them. It broke out of college radio. And then Behind the Wall of Sleep was like the big one. Right. This is a great song. It's got this great jackhammer piano that's doubling the bass line. If you listen carefully, you'll hear like a grand piano playing these low, like octave single E notes that like add all this extra background. It's perfectly produced and put together. Like, it sounds old, but it also sounds new at the same time. It has a great guitar break I just love it. And it has not aged poorly. Like if you put this Smithereens record on in 2021, it sounds great. I mean, it doesn't sound dated like those other 80s records. It sounds fresh. The songs are all still great. I feel like a young man again. And they made a series of records that are all very good, like where three or four songs are very good, but none of their later records, even though they were probably more popular, had the same just overall oomph. And shockingly, this record is not on Spotify. It is lost in record contract hell, and you cannot hear this record unless you go to YouTube or unless you own it.
That's so insane.
In some ways, that makes it even more special for me. But here is Behind the Wall of Sleep. She had hair like Jeannie Shrimpton. She played the bass guitar like Bill Wyman, the Smithereens.
Especially for You by the Smithereens.
She had hair like Jeannie Shrimpton back in 1965. She had legs that never ended up. I was halfway paralyzed. She was tall and cool and pretty, and she dressed as black as coal. If she asked me to, I'd murder her. I would gladly lose my soul. Now
love that line. It's also hilarious because Bill Wyman stood very awkwardly and strangely on stage. Like he's not the bass player you want to emulate. He looks like the guy from Toto, like golf playing straight with that. I just think it's such a great reference. So
did you think they were going for, like, I remember this album just being everywhere and everybody thought they were cool and was listening to it. Their journey though took a different route from other bands. What happened?
I don't know. Like they were big in like underground college radio circles, but then, I mean, the first top 40 hit was A Girl Like You two albums later.
No, this album got played. I mean, I lived in New York, but this album got worn out. Blood and Roses. I mean,
yeah,
this was in regular rotation on
but
New
it didn't
York
chart.
Radio.
I mean, nothing charted. It didn't, I don't think it cracked the top 200 in sales. Oh, like true? It was a great word of mouth, like people who love music listen to it, but they did not break into the zeitgeist ever.
So here's what I'll say. And actually, like when I mentioned this record in conjunction with Pearl Jam, when I said that I was looking for a band that was going to be my band, like not the Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin, but a band that was like a contemporary band. And I really gave these guys a try. And believe me, they sold them to me hard on New York rock radio. And I bought all these records. But basically, Pearl Jam is a remix of music that I like better than this is a remix of. Who do you consider this to be a ripoff of, Jeff? Do you think this is a ripoff of the Who?
Early Who's tracks, like really early, like My Generation, The Seeker, Kids Are All Right.
It's so much less good than that, though. It's like the guitar part is so simple. Like it's really, really, really basic. And that,
well, I think they were trying to do American garage rock also. So they were trying to do like Dirty Water by the Standells and like all that nugget stuff. They were trying to do like British verse, chorus, verse with American garage grit. And they get I think on this first record, it's super compelling. And then it fades. Their next four or five records are not as good.
They did get up to number 51.
You're right. I'm looking at that too. I was wrong about that.
That's not a top 40 hit. This wasn't as big as a hit as I would have remembered. I guess basically because I was from New York. I think they were really trying to sell new music. Like I think WNEW and WPLJ were really trying hard to like break new rock acts because they just got tired of playing Led Zeppelin over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one just it wouldn't stay with me. There's not enough. It's like it just doesn't, like the guitar part is just so simple and bassline. And even in comparison to Townsend, who I love, like it just doesn't compare to those songs. Like it's not as clever or as interesting. And it's whatever, 20 years later. Is that too tough? You think I'd be too mean?
I think it'd be a little too tough, man. I mean, it hurt my feelings, but like the songs are better than you're giving them credit for. Like, I could sing every song on this record to you, like, right away. Like, they're good. They're good harmonies. And they're like, and there's these great little changes. Like at the end of Strangers, when we meet, where there's four little drum breaks and each one is slightly different than the other. And they like, they're all good enough to be like, you can air drum and remember them as parts. Like, it's pretty good.
By the way,
record.
You're giving me drum breaks and Strangers when we meet.
Yeah.
You're bringing the extra deep cut.
But that's
I wish I could argue with you. I have no recollection of that song.
But that's whatsoever. The difference between a shitty knockoff and a good knockoff. Like, it's a knockoff. I started by saying, like,
No, dude, I'm not shading you. It's just like, this is like a band that's on my list of bands that just never happened for me. Like, I gave them every try to make it, and they just didn't do it.
I think it was your rebellion against New York media. And what
very nice. Like, that could be it.
I didn't consume them that way at all. I thought they were an underground rock act.
Yeah.
And they weren't shoved down my throat at all. They were not played at all on Mid-Atlantic radio.
Right.
Like, we thought we'd found something that was only ours. And then that Behind the Wall of Sleep song had a mild breakout. And then they disappeared again. But I was so disappointed with the second record. I bought Green Thoughts the day it came out, and that was the one for me, Ben, where I was like trying so hard to like, and I was like, this record's boring.
What's the best song on Green Thoughts?
I don't even know, actually.
And then what's the third record? What's the song you
said? That's the one called 11 with the Girl Like You on it.
Oh, A Girl Like You. Yeah.
Memory and House We Used to Live In are the songs off Green Thoughts.
Oh, yeah. And then 11 had, I remember for sure.
Yeah.
And then 11 had A Girl Like You and Blues Before and After. And but
I like your style, Jeff. Good job.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Up in Boston in 1986, it was just you two. That was all. That's all we played up in Boston. Hey,
you're not going to choose Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet? I'm really sad that you're not choosing Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
But I
did. Man of the people.
I did want to note that Slippery When Wet is the best selling album all time that was released in this year, 1986.
And rightfully so. And rightfully so. I almost chose it. If you hadn't given me Scarecrow last year, we'd be listening to some Cowboy on a Steel Horse I Ride.
By
right
the way,
now.
That record.
I'm not even kidding. I would have chosen that. I would have chosen the live one from the MTV show where
God, you're
so
killing
good.
Me.
So good. Fucking kills me. I had that on my running mix. That's how much I love that MTV live version of it.
Unbelievable.
Like, it's the greatest.
Bon Jovi is the fork in my eye. I fucking
you don't even
that
like
band.
That song?
No.
Timmy, you're with me, right?
No, I am definitely not. I remember.
You're not a cowboy?
I am not. No.
You're not riding a steel horse?
I remember having.
I might be the only actual legitimate male on this podcast.
You might be.
I'm bringing some real manly energy, and I don't think you guys can handle it. That's the problem.
You might be indeed.
Ben, I was having an argument with a parent about 10 or 15 years ago here at school and about her daughter and her daughter's place on the volleyball team and everything. And we were discussing things. And later on, you know, I realized she was from New Jersey. I'm like, oh, you like Bruce Springsteen? She's like, well, he's not as good as Bon Jovi. I was like, oh my God, this explains so much. You just have explained every argument we've ever had. Lovely.
That's amazing.
All right. So I've got my pick, and I really, really wanted it to be David and David, Welcome to the Boomtown, because I remember that particular album having an effect on me and kind of bringing me to a...
But it's not even an album. It's an EP.
Yeah.
It's like four songs or something like that, right?
Well, that's not...
By the way, I secretly love that Welcome to the Boomtown song. Ben's going to make a ton of fun
of
you.
Which one is that?
That's the...
You don't remember Welcome to the Boomtown?
Too bad if Danny's got a table in the bed.
Good Lord, that's that song?
Yeah. Love that song. The rest of the album just does not hold up. And so
I'm shocked. I'm shocked to hear that. Really? It doesn't match that standard to me?
So even though we've already picked this band in another year, like I gotta pick this band. How can I not pick this band? And I think India Kincannon's gonna be pleased with this show. I think she's gonna like every. Does she like the Smithereens, Ben?
No, She doesn't even like Run DMC, so I hope you can help her out.
She doesn't like the Smithereens?
No.
Apparently nobody likes the Smithereens, Tim.
All right. Well, I am going to go with Life's Rich Pageant, and I know we've done REM already, but Joe Simons, the initial sounds that come out of the song Superman just took me back immediately to the 1980s. Hit it.
Life's Rich Pageant by REM.
When you're not yet a fully formed human being, and instead you're a 16-year-old male, you're filled with anxieties and self-doubt, and you have crushes, and you don't know how those people feel about you. And then you see them with frickin', I won't say names, so-and-so. I'm not going to say names because we're up to like 40,000 listens, and it'll get around, and I don't want that to get around. But it's like, you can't be with him because I think you're special. How in the world are you with that idiot when he is not special?
Timmy, is this your favorite song on this record? That can't be true.
Probably Fall on Me is.
This record is fantastic.
It's such a great record.
Yeah. I love this record. But this is not this isn't even one of my five favorite songs.
Go ahead. Give me your five.
Begin to Begin, Fall on Me, Hyena, These Days, Cuyahoga. Each one of those five songs.
So great.
These Days is so great. These Days is just a perfect rock song.
Wait, play These Days. Play the first 15 seconds.
Here's something. Play These Days. Hold on. I gotta turn off Superman. Here we go.
Finding themselves on this album. I mean,
you know what's great is this is the difference between the Smithereens and great music. Didn't pick REM because I already picked REM, but this is what the Smithereens would sound like if they were pushing that envelope outward. They settled for, I think, expert imitation, but this takes all of the things they loved and pushes it forward.
REM's third album or fourth?
Fourth album.
Yeah.
And they're best, I think.
Yeah,
if I really had
for sure.
I had to pick one. I love this one.
So great. Oh, well, we done well. It's now 10 o'clock. It's time for us to go to bed.
I hope our listeners know, by the way, that all three members of the triumvirate here had tough weeks.
I mean,
a really tough couple of weeks. The fact that we didn't skip an episode or put in perhaps you'd like to use this week to catch up. Is a testament to how much we love one another and all of you listening. So
yeah,
we're going to keep the hits coming.
I drove across North Carolina. You know how big North Carolina is to go from the mountains to the beach? That is a long drive in a minibus with 15 volleyball players, man.
No, dude. And also the drive back.
Oh,
drive back where you just replay every point is the worst. You know what I should have said to that ref? I should have said, oh, yeah, it's the worst. So, But it was a great, great season. Love these girls. Fun times. Hope this week for the two of you is going to be easy peasy.
Oh, yeah. That's almost surely the case. We've already canceled school tomorrow because of inclement weather.
Wait, but Timmy, keep this part. Oh, go ahead, Jeff. Go.
That's fine. Keep this part. I was in a faculty meeting a couple of years ago. We were trying to decide on a school calendar, and one had 14 weeks of vacation and one had 12 weeks of vacation. And a real argument was breaking out about which calendar was better and which one could have more learning. And I let it go. And I finally raised my hand. I'm like, I'm not in the math department, but isn't 14 greater than 12? And we're getting paid the same. And everybody looked at me like I was like a horrible human being. I was like, I work hard, but good Lord, people.
Oh, dude, you should have been a law professor. I started at Arizona State. I taught there for 2 years. I came in with a brand new dean, and actually she was my professor in Michigan. That's how I got the gig, and she hired me. She was great. She's a mentor, the best. Anyhow, I go to the first faculty meeting, and she's like, I have some news for you. One of the things I did is I went ahead and reviewed our schedule, and I noticed that we're teaching two more weeks in the year than are required by the ABA. So I just cut them. Cut them. She's like, adjust your syllabi accordingly. We're not teaching more than we're required to. And there was like light applause. There was like, woohoo, all right. We're off to a good start. But Timmy, on an unrelated topic, man, such a pleasure to have Martha. Amazing.
Oh, what a great idea.
Like, super, like, just the best. So, super smart, well-spoken, the greatest.
She could talk T-Swizzle all day long. We should get our daughters together because they could just have a ball. Yeah.
I will report to Georgia the paper rings thing. That's going to make her really happy.
All right. Super, super. All right, fellas. Good stuff.
When shall we three meet again? Like, should we go for Wednesday night?
Sorry, Wednesday?
Let's do it. Good. 1987, this coming Wednesday.
Let's do it. Awesome.
I'm in. Thank you, guys.
Hey, if you're having as much fun as we are, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a rating on Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a shout, and then check us out on Twitter or at our Facebook page, 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the rock podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B, and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.